There's a worldview war going on right now. One radio program gives you full frontline coverage. It's Generations, and here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
And welcome to Generations, friends. Kevin Swanson with you, executive director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason we're here, a father of five, and my daughter Emily's in studio, and we're talking Thanksgiving this week for, I think, obvious reasons. Hey, it's Thanksgiving, and I'm excited about it. Hey, Dave, and so is Walmart. Walmart's excited about it because of the next day. And actually, what has happened now, folks, is Walmart has moved its promotions on its website up to Thanksgiving Day. I mean, they're getting a little overeager for the Black Friday thing. And people are spending money right and left. I think just last year, the spending was up some, what was it, 18.6% up last year. The consumers are spending like drunken sailor,
like,
is that the way?
Like Congress?
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Congress. That was a drunken sailor. Congress. Yeah.
There's a difference. Like, drunken sailors only spend their own money and they stop when they run out. Congress just keeps spending.
Right. Exactly. Anyway, huge materialistic flood happening. And Dave, you know this materialism? It actually began with FDR. I don't know if you knew that or not. Franklin Delano Roosevelt's beginning of a lot of the materialism that we now experience in the modern age. He moved Thanksgiving, which had been on the fourth Thursday for many years, I think all the way back from Abraham Lincoln. I think it was established by Abraham Lincoln as a regular day. Now, there were days of Thanksgiving established by Congress just about every year up to that point, but Abraham Lincoln put it on the fourth Thursday of November, and then FDR moved it to the third Thursday, and you know why?
I do know why. FDR wanted to have one more week of shopping.
Yes, shopping. It's all about shopping. You know, we didn't have enough stuff. And that was the problem back in the 1940s. We did not have enough stuff. So he said, we need more stuff, and it would really help the merchants.
If I recall my history correctly, from George Washington on to Abraham Lincoln, each and every president called a day of Thanksgiving, but it wasn't regularly scheduled. And Abraham Lincoln made it a regular occurring holiday. So, but then FDR moved it because we need to have more shopping days.
Here is a list of the stores that are first visited on Black Friday. 34% go to Walmart. No surprise there. Best Buy comes in second at 18%, and those all the guys are going to get their electronics there.
Yeah, for their loved ones.
Yeah, exactly. For their loved ones or loved one.
Yeah.
Target gets 16%, Macy's at 9%, Circuit City at 5%, Sears at 4%, and Kohl's at 3%. So everybody's rushing to get the stuff and get the good deals on Black Friday. But, Dave, I think we need to talk about Thanksgiving. I know it's kind of a passe thing today. I'm not sure people enjoy Thanksgiving as they once did. We live in a materialistic age, folks. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And the attention, people's attentions are really shifting from the giver to the gift itself. They're looking at the things. And I'm not sure that they enjoy Thanksgiving. I'm not sure they enjoy God and enjoy the rejoicing in God and the good things God has given us as much as they enjoy the gifts.
Well, I think there's a lot of pressure in the marketplace to kind of skip Thanksgiving, except that it's the opening of hunting season, of shopping hunting season when you hunt for gifts. Bell ringers have been out for a couple of weeks. The Santa music is playing in the stores. I'm not sure that as a nation, though, we know who we would thank.
What is this materialism that seems to be capturing the modern man? What is it that's... It's not wrong to have materials. We're not Gnostic or dualists, and we're not saying that it's wrong to have materials and enjoy the good things that God has given us. Hey, we're going to eat the turkey, and we're going to open the presents during this holiday season, and it's going to be a wonderful time for us. And yet, I think, Dave, what happens is our priorities shift. The modern age is so filled with materialism. You've got to get your houses, got to get your cars, got to get your boats. You got to have the washing machine, the dryer, the dishwasher, the refrigerator, the stove, the air conditioner, 5 cell phones, 3 television sets, 1 large screen, 3 desktops, 2 laptops, a VCR, not a Oh, no, make that a DVD. Stereo system, 1,000 square foot house, no, make that 1,500. No, make that 2,600 square feet. No, make that 3,600 square feet. A car, no, make that two cars. 100 different detergents, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera. And a partridge in a pear tree.
And a partridge in a pear tree. And at some point, Dave, aren't we overwhelmed by the complexity of materials? We're actually almost in the rat race of seeking more materials instead of just sitting and enjoying God. It seems as if our hearts and our minds get so wrapped up in the materials, in buying the materials and maintaining the materials. And by the way, they all break, and that's another problem. Now you got to buy, get all these things maintained and so forth. So we get so wrapped up in the materialistic rat race that we're really not enjoying the simple life. We're not really enjoying God.
Well, I think that's just the point. We're not enjoying God because we have denied God in so many of our institutions. We are raised in saying the material world is all that there is. If all there is the material world, then you might as well enjoy the materials. If we are here by random chance, by hydrogen becoming more complex, what are you going to thank for that? Are you going to thank God? Well, you wouldn't thank God because there isn't God. Are you going to be thankful for nuclear fission? I mean, where does the thanksgiving come from? You end up necessarily having to worship or to serve the creation rather than the creator.
Yeah, exactly. And then we become pleasure addicts, right? You ever heard of this, Dave? Just addicted to pleasure. And to the point where it's all about entertainment. 95% of life is all about not working, but playing. And we work in order to play, so we're not really working for the glory of God. We're working really so that we can be entertained and so that we can enjoy more food, more movies. We hit the slopes, the ski slopes on the weekends, etc. So life really becomes this. The reason we live our lives become, enjoy the materials or go out and buy more materials, because that's what gives us some heart satisfaction as we worship this great idol we call materialism. And then we just enjoy as many pleasures as we can possibly enjoy for the sake of pleasures. But Dave, at the end of the day, nobody's really satisfied. Nobody's really fulfilled. This is not fulfillment.
I mean, that's the design, Kevin. You know, you talk about going to Circuit City and to Best Buy and to Walmart. 99% of the purchases are all pleasure items. Yeah. They're things to entertain us. But if we were entertained and satisfied, we wouldn't be back next year. We wouldn't be back for the after Christmas sale. What would keep the economy going if we weren't constantly feeding this plant that wants more and more blood? We want blood, you know. How would the economy survive?
Well, what you're saying, Dave, it's this carrot hanging in front of the donkey, and he keeps on trying to achieve the carrot and thinking somehow by getting the better Game Boy, by getting the better television set, and every year, it's amazing, Dave, you know, this is, every year you get an upgrade in the television set. I mean, I think this is nonstop for the last 20, 25 years. Every year, Best Buy presents a better television set, even better than what you had last year. So it's almost as if we can enjoy our pleasure even more, if we can get an upgrade and this, that, the other thing, we will be satisfied. And that seeking of satisfaction and a seeking of fulfillment in these materials is insatiable for these people.
Oh, absolutely. Why do they build 170-foot yachts that cost $80,000 to fill up in diesel fuel? They do it because the guy who has a 100-foot yacht has something to shoot for.
They do it for the same reason why the guy's making 50 grand a year is going out trying to get the $8,000 boat so he can eventually get the $20,000 boat, so they can eventually get the $25,000 boat. It's a rat race, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely it is. And it's, like you said, in the end it's not fulfilling, and all there is the pursuit of fulfillment, but never the acquisition of fulfillment. And it just goes on and on and on, and in the end, everybody dies.
In the end, Dave, maybe we should have enjoyed Thanksgiving. And that's my point here today, folks. Maybe we should have enjoyed Thanksgiving. Maybe we shouldn't have grabbed the ads and spent the rest of the evening looking at the ads and then getting up at 4 in the morning to go get more stuff. Maybe we should have sat around the Thanksgiving table and valued the things that are really of value. Oh, I don't know. Things like God and the goodness of God. In our family relationships, these are the things we've lost in the rat race. Folks, in just a moment, how we're going to spend Thanksgiving this year. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Stay with me.
Kevin Swanson will be right back. In a world where 36% of children are born without fathers and half of marriages end in divorce, here's one father who cares about the future of the next generation. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Back on Generations, friends, and today talking about gratitude. How important it is to establish an attitude of gratitude in the home. And Dave, this has been a long-term project for us. One of the things I noticed when I was a kid, we were raised on the mission field in Japan. And by the way, when we were out in Japan, we didn't have the most comfortable of lifestyles. I mean, basically, you go to the bathroom in a hole, you know. the house is cold throughout the wintertime. I mean, it could be as low as 32, 34, 35 degrees in the house. Because the Japanese didn't have forced air heating that heats the entire home. They, you know, would heat little small rooms and so forth. So there's a lot of inconvenience. So we come back stateside, we find American houses to be extremely comfortable. Even the smallest houses, even the most impoverished people really had it better than what we had on the mission field in Japan. And one of the things we noticed was that even with all of these conveniences, and America being the most prosperous nation really on the face of the earth, there was so much complaining. And it was amazing that ingratitude. My dad would always comment on that, saying, man, we're hearing this whining. People are complaining about the weather. They're complaining about the food. They're complaining about this, that, the other. Always complaining. Nobody's really ever satisfied. And it's amazing, Dave, how some of the most materialistically blessed nations on the earth can be some of the most ungrateful nations on the earth.
Well, I think it's a truism that prosperity does not lead to gratefulness. There is no correlation between how much you have and how grateful you are. A Christian man can be grateful whether he has a little or a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And gratitude is just, I think, first of all, noting that you are blessed. I mean, that's the first point. I mean, we need to tell our children, hey, we are blessed, and point out the blessings constantly. Let's look at how God has blessed us. And granted, sometimes the cup may be 1% empty, but let's not talk about the trials. Let's not focus on these things. Let's focus on the broad picture of the things that God has done for us and the things that God has given for us. Worst case, Dave, Jesus died for our sins, and we die and go to heaven and live with him forever and ever in glory. That's we're doing pretty good. Okay, so that's worst case. All right, that's about the worst it can possibly be.
That's right. And with a right attitude, even our trials are something to be grateful for, to take joy in. Yeah. So because those trials are helping to sift out the sin in our lives and help us to become more grateful, we should be joyful in those trials. So everything in the Christian life is cause for gratitude.
Yeah, and I think the ungrateful spirit, Dave, just doesn't notice these things. And it's horrific when people forget to notice the small little details in life. I can remember when I moved into this house, I would look at the trim and think to myself, you know, when I was young, we didn't have trim. You know, trim, I mean, and we don't have fancy trim. You look down, it's, you know, about, what, 1.5 inch, the cheap Home Depot type of trim that we trim this thing out with. But I just looked at the trim and I thought, praise God for trim. You know, thank the Lord. Boy, that's kind of neat. I like trim. And yet, I think the average person, you know, has a hard time noticing these things. And when you're eating that strawberry, you know, and the juices are just sweet as can be, and you're thinking to yourself, man, God made this strawberry for me. God is good. God wanted me to have a pleasurable moment, and here he has handed me one of the best strawberries of this season, and I'm enjoying this thing. As the juices are running down my cheeks, I'm thinking, boy, God's good. God is really good. And yet, Dave, maybe it's just the fact we don't notice things. We just kind of, we're moving through life so fast, we don't take time to smell the roses. Is that part of the problem here?
That's part of the problem. I think the hearts of men, by and large, are not grateful until they've been delivered from something, some threat to themselves. That's generally when Thanksgiving celebrations have been observed throughout history, whether it be deliverance from a foreign enemy or deliverance from poverty, deliverance from a tough winter. That's typically when men are the most thankful. When we get a good crop in, our hearts say, well, I deserved a good crop. I worked hard for it. If only I could have worked a little harder. If only I could have gotten a little bit more. So there's a sort of inversion between prosperity and thankfulness in the heart of men. So it takes a discipline, and it takes a change in attitude to be grateful. And you know what? As Christians, we should always be grateful because we have received such a great deliverance. We of all people have been delivered from an eternity. We have been delivered by the Son of God himself. What is there not to be thankful for?
Dave, you ever have problems in your family with gratefulness? I mean, do you ever hear complaining from your children?
I complain about it when it happens.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
I know. And it's a habit that's got to be broken. We had a little girl. I won't tell you her name, but we called her Crabigail for a while. Krabby Abbey, I think, was another term that we used for this little one. But we just focused in on it. And you know what? Within a little, maybe a year or two, she was one of the happiest little gals you ever run into. But it is something you got to focus on. One of the rules that we've established for our children from the very beginning was, hey, no complaining, no complaining. This family will not complain. And Dave, I think it's still the responsibility of dad to set the mood in the home. When you come home or when you get up in the morning and you want to establish that kind of atmosphere of being grateful and joyful in the home, that dad really plays a huge part. And I do it by means of humor. I do it by means of singing. We like to sing, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Whether or not we feel like rejoicing, you know, again, it's, you know, you may not feel like we're rejoicing, but we're going to sing this song. By George, we're going to sing this song. And by the end of it, we are going to rejoice. You hear me now?
And we like to sing, "Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see." You have to have sort of a liturgy in your home, which will at least lead us towards the direction of Thanksgiving. We also have tried to institute some rules. There is no blaming. That's just another form of complaining once removed. And there's no complaining. So there's no blaming and there's no complaining. And that has really helped in our household a little bit. Now, if only dad can get his act together.
Now, Dave, I think it's important as you look at the good things God has given us, and we like to sing the song, "Count Your Blessings." When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. We sing that often as well. "Can a little child like me thank the Father fittingly?" We like to run through these Thanksgiving songs on a regular basis and then just stop and say, okay, let's think about the things that God has given us that just give us so much delight. And one of the things, I mean, just looking at each other, we look at our little babies, and we're just, you know, what made babies so cute? Or who made babies so cute? Why did babies, I mean, God could have made babies ugly, you know, like, I don't know, lizards or something, you know. He could have made babies ugly, but he made them so cute with the pudgy cheeks and all that. And you could hardly resist kissing the cheeks. And so as you embrace your little baby, you got to think to yourself, God is good. I love God. And you can be grateful for those sorts of things. So I think, Dave, if we can at least assign the cause to God, it would be very helpful. In other words, here you are enjoying a strawberry. Here you are seeing the little antics of your little buddy. What's his name? Joshua. Your little buddy Joshua running around with the big old pudgy cheeks and the character that just, I mean, he's a character and a half. But where did that come from? That was God's design. Dave, if we could just see that this came from the personal hand of a God who is so good and wants to treat us with so much kindness and has a sense of humor as well, I think we'd be so much more appreciative, wouldn't we?
I think we would. And, you know, gratefulness and the attitude of thanksgiving is the antidote to so many sins that beset us. You think about it. You cannot be bitter if you're thankful at that person. Sure. You cannot be envious if you're thankful for their providence. You cannot be jealous if you're thankful. The having a heart of thankfulness really is key to having a heart that loves and enjoys the fruits of the Spirit in your life. A lack of thankfulness will bring fruits of the flesh quicker than anything.
And maybe you need to ask yourself from time to time, do I have that thankful attitude? You know, are you thanking God while you're sitting there criticizing your boss or your wife or your church? I mean, are you being grateful? Are you just really just basking in gratefulness and thanking the Lord and praising God as you're sitting there whining about this, that, or the other thing? Are you thanking God while you're sitting there in traffic moving six car lengths in half an hour? You know, are you really just having a really good time of gratefulness here, or is it just a bitter, angry spirit rising in your heart? Are you thanking God as you're working through a difficult task, as you shovel the driveway at 20 below, or snaking the toilet, or disciplining your children, or, you know, are you thanking God during these times? There are four things you can thank God for. You can thank God for the good things that happen to you, the good things that do not happen to you, the bad things that did not happen to you, and the bad things that happened to you. You know, and now somebody's going to
that sounds like thanking God for all things.
Well, that's pretty much everything. Yeah, pretty. I couldn't really think of any other option here, Dave. But I will say that I think you can thank God for the tough days as well. And that's difficult. That may be the most difficult thing to do. But if Romans 8:28 is correct, and if by faith we're going to receive that passage, Dave, you know what it says? All things work together for good. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. If all things work together for good and you stubbed your toe. Okay, there you are. You stubbed your toe. Now, Can you be thankful? Well, stubbing your toe is going to work together for good. So can you be thankful about stubbing your toe? I think you can. I think for a moment you can be grateful. Now, it doesn't mean you can't say, Alan, that hurts. I mean, you say that too. But why can't you be grateful at the same time?
Well, I think you can be grateful. One of the reasons you can be grateful is because God gave you a test that would increase your gratefulness. Yeah. Right there, you stubbed your toe. It's very interesting. When I've been doing some apologetics with my children, and we have come across some characters who are very influential, very wicked men in history, people like Darwin and others, and almost all of them were raised in a Christian home, and God brought a tragedy. Death of a sister, death of a sibling seems to be pretty common. And instead of being able to thank God through that trial, they became bitter towards God. And they hated God. And then they eventually denied God and became some of the wicked, most wicked people in our culture that influence us today. It seems to me that if they had only latched on to a little gratefulness, we might have been spared some of the issues that we have today. But again, we can be thankful for them, too, because God's going to work that for our good.
And, Dave, I think sometimes it's helpful to point out those that are less blessed than we are. I can remember reading Laura Ingalls Wilder's story. I think it was A Long Winter, where she went to a party and she received an orange. It was the first time in her life that she had had an orange. And I think that's amazing. I sat there thinking about that. And every time I have an orange now, pretty much every time I have an orange, I think about Laura Ingalls Wilder and the orange and how carefully she peeled each of the peels and how slowly she ate each of the slices. And she just really enjoyed the orange. And as I thought about that, I thought, boy, we really are privileged. We are so blessed because, of course, we have transportation systems that bring oranges from Florida and California to us, and we can enjoy oranges pretty much any time of the year because of God's great blessings upon this nation. So it really helps to point out to our children those that are less blessed than we are. And of course, Dave, you know, if you have this attitude of gratitude, you will have the happiest home on the block. And the happiest people are always the most grateful people. Dave, you know what? One of the reasons this nation is so miserable and people are not smiling. People don't really enjoy life very much. I think the reason is they're not grateful before God for the good things he's given us.
Well, and you think about it. If you have a whole bushel of apples, having one apple doesn't seem that much of a cause to celebrate and to be thankful. But if you've never had an apple, each and every bite of that apple is a blessing. And so there is a sense at which when we live a simpler life that we can receive that with much more thanksgiving. And if God has chosen to bless us, that might be the more difficult trial.
And finally, those who are the most grateful are usually those who give. Giving is an important part of Thanksgiving. And as you look at the Old Testament and how they celebrated these great times of Thanksgiving during the Festival of Weeks and the Festival of Tents and Tabernacles and so forth, you find that they always wanted to invite the widow and orphan in to enjoy the good things God has given. And they gave the gift, the poor tithe, during some of those times of Thanksgiving. And I think, Dave, that's an added thing. We need to really emphasize with our children during times of Thanksgiving, this is a time to give. And, of course, that's one reason why our church does the Thanksgiving offering each year about this time. But it's also the reason why we decided this year to invite two widows and their orphan children, or partially orphan children, to our house for Thanksgiving. This is the first time we've done this. We're going to enjoy Thanksgiving this time with several widows who I think we can minister to, and we're just going to bless the socks off of them. And Dave, in the process, you know, as we give and give and give and give, we're going to find great rejoicing in that and more reason to thank God.
And as Charles Spurgeon pointed out, those whom we love the most are generally those whom we've already given the most to. Not whom we've received the most from, but those who we've given the most to. It's kind of the opposite of what we would think. But we can become more loving if we'll be more thankful and give to those who don't.
Amen. May God make us more grateful and in the process return joy to our homes. Isn't that the prayer of every family listening to this program? Well, may God give you an attitude of gratitude this Thanksgiving, and may you just swim in an atmosphere of blessing for God and praise for God's good things that he has given to you. And we just wish you the best of Thanksgivings. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Generations. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson. I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. And join us again next time, won't you, as we lay down a vision for the next generation.